Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. The holy life of God's Son was lived for all of us. His last day was spent suffering for us. And he carried our sins to the cross. His empty tomb tells us that Jesus has done all that was necessary for us to be saved. God grant us faith in the crucified and risen Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The great detective Sherlock Holmes is a fictional character. He never lived. He was written by a man called Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Now, most of the characters in the Sherlock Holmes are fictional. But every once in a while, a real person is put into the book. And one of these people that you would come across, a real criminal who was called Charles Peace. Now, in his day, in the 19th century, Charles Peace was a well-known thief and murderer. For more than 25 years, Charles Peace managed to live a very comfortable life. How? By burglarizing the homes of the rich and the famous all around towns in London. Eventually, Peace was turned in by his girlfriend. Charles Peace was tried in one community where he was given a life sentence. And then he was taken to another community where the jury took all of 10 minutes to conclude that Peace was guilty and that he should be executed. On the day of his death, Charles Peace was being taken to the gallows. In the group which was walking with him was the prison chaplain, a man who seemed bored and uninterested in what was about to take place on the gallows. With a droning voice, the chaplain read some Bible passages that seemed appropriate to be to a man about to be hanged. Charles Peace asked him, "Sir, what are you reading?" And the chaplain replied, "I am reading the Consolations of Religions." And the criminal asked him, "Sir, could it be that you're not even interested in the eternal salvation of my soul? Could it be that you're not even interested if I go to hell or if I go to heaven? You talk without even a tremor in your voice." The truth is, hell is a terrible place, and we Christians should be moving the world to tell of a Savior who gave his life so that you do not have to end up there. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, has done all the work necessary for our salvation. But he has given his people the job of telling everyone who is on the road toward death that they have an alternative between hell and between heaven. If we truly believe that damnation is as bad as what we say, as terrible as what Scripture tells us, we should leave no stone unturned, no words left unsaid, no prayer unspoken, to let people know that Jesus has carried their sins, taken their punishment, and has died their death so that they might be rescued. It's true. Because of what Jesus has done, with the Holy Spirit's given faith in the crucified Lord, you can be saved from hell and go to heaven. Believe the Bible. Believe it when it says that after death, eternal life is either heaven or eternal life in the torment of hell. It was the knowledge of life after death which brought a lawyer to see Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. This man began with a very important question, and a question that Lots of people are even asking today in 2016, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" There will be a judgment day. And then there is eternal life for believers in Jesus and eternal torment for people who do not believe in Jesus. What must I do to have in eternal life and avoid eternal dying? That was the lawyer's question. Before the conversation was over, both the lawyer and Jesus came to an agreement on what he should do. All he had to do was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, that made the lawyer feel pretty good. After all, if that is all that a person has to do, he felt he was in pretty good shape. And I think that most people today would think that they could do that. We are not like the people who really commit really big sins. We are not like terrorists who blow up innocent women and children. We are not in the business of swindling people out of their money. We are not like you can fill in the rest. We think that we are still pretty good and that we are good enough to get into heaven. We are, aren't we? Or are we? Are we really that good? How about if I asked your friends, your family, to tell me about you? I would probably hear the things that you would not want me to hear. They are going to tell me things that you have done wrong. But the truth is, if they are honest, they will tell me that you have not loved God that good. And as far as loving your neighbor, we all know the answer to that one, don't we? But it gets worse. Those people can only see the outside stuff, the things that they have heard you say, the things that they have seen you do, but they have not really seen the bad stuff, have they? They are not open to the thoughts which are hateful. They are horrible. They are cruel. They are unkind. Your feelings of lust and greed and envy, if they had seen those, what would they think? Would they let you into heaven? I know what God thinks and says about such evil thoughts and evil behavior. He says, you are not good enough. Nobody on their own is good enough to get into heaven. Because God says you are not good enough to get into heaven, you ought to be saying, if I'm not good enough, then how can I get into heaven and avoid hell? Well, there are a number of things you could do. First, you can pretend that judgment is never going to happen. But that would be a very big mistake. Or you could hope that God is going to grade us on the curve, just like a teacher giving the class some extra points on the test so that they could pass the test. You could hope that God is going to lower his standards so that the majority of sinners get into heaven. But that is not going to happen. God does not grade on the curve. He uses the pass-fail method. If you have always loved him with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, if you have always loved your neighbor as yourself, you pass and get into heaven. If you have not done those things, then you fail, and heaven is lost. To this rule, there are no exceptions. None. God says the wages of sin is death. Now, if you're one of those who think that all religions are the same, most religions are in agreement. They agree that we are sinners and that God is not pleased with those sins. But if you are one of those who think all religions are the same, I've got some bad news for you. This is where the road divides. This is where Christianity goes in a completely different direction than everyone else in the world. A Chinese Christian explained the difference this way. He said, "Imagine if I have fallen into the quicksand of sin, and I am being sucked further and further under. If Buddha came along and saw me in the predicament, he might say something like this, 'My friend, please do not be overly concerned about the state of things. If you are wise, you will learn and you will grow and you will avoid the quicksand the next time you are reborn.'" My Christian friend then said, "Having said this, Buddha would pass by, leaving me in the quicksand." My friend continued, "Now imagine what happened if the Prophet Muhammad were to come upon me and my bad situation. What would he do? What would he say? It would probably be something like, 'I am most sad to see you in your sorry state, but it ought to be obvious this is the will of Allah. I have 5 pillars of faith which may help you, but ultimately your fate is your fate.' Then, having shared his wisdom, Muhammad would pass on and I would be left to dying." As he told the story, I saw my friend's face brighten up just a little when he said, "And then Jesus came along." And he said, "Jesus saw me in my situation and he felt sorry for me. But he felt more than just sorry for me. And he did more than give me bits of wisdom and deep philosophy. Seeing my state, Jesus jumped into the quicksand himself. And as he went by me, he said, 'Do not be afraid.' I soon found out why. Rather than letting me sink further and further in the quicksand of sin, he lifted me up. He pulled me out of the muck and the mire of sin and lifted me up to the freedom and life. Jesus pushed me up, and as he pushed me up, he sank further and further and further down. He was saving me by sacrificing himself." It's amazing. It's amazing that God would care about sinners like you and like me. Amazing that the Heavenly Father would send his Son into our world to become one of us. It's amazing that Jesus would live a perfect life, resist all of hell's temptations, and carry our sins to the cross. It's amazing that Jesus was silent before his accusers. Amazing that he did not seek revenge against those who tormented him. Amazing that he did not go against the authority of Pilate, who gave the orders that he should be crucified. It was more than amazing. It is called God's grace. God's grace that he gives sinners like us. Grace, love, that is undeserved, unearned. God's grace comes and brings with it the Lord's invitation to repent, believe, and be saved. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was what the lawyer asked Jesus. Now you have been given the answer. Repent, believe, and be saved. That is the message that the pastors of St. John Lutheran Church here in Freedom Township have preached and taught for almost 150 years. Now, many things at St. John's have changed over the years. The church was down the road, and it's located here. The services were at first in German, and now they're in English. The school was once across the road, and now it is here. But there is one thing that has not changed in all those years and will never change. One thing that I want you to remember. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whether it is on a Sunday morning service, a school chapel service, a wedding service, or a funeral service, the message has and always will remain the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I pray that you know that if you are going to go to heaven and avoid the other place, you must believe in Jesus, who has defeated sin and Satan and death for your salvation. The bloody death and the glorious resurrection of Jesus has taken sinners out of hell and into heaven. That is one truth that will never, ever change. To God alone be all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.